Well, eventually they save Narnia. And at the end, Lewis gives us a denouement that is both serious and comic at the same time. There is a very vain general named Rabadash, a Calormene general, and he is kidnapped. And Aslan, who is so loving, gives Rabadash the chance to repent and live in Narnia. But Rabadash is very vain, and he arrogantly rejects the mercy of the Narnians. Again and again, Aslan gives him like three choices, but every time Rabadash says, "No, I won't listen to you, you infidels," until finally Aslan has no choice but to transform him into a donkey. And those of you who know the book of Daniel will remember when Nebuchadnezzar is turned into a beast that lives in the field and eats the grass and whatnot. Well, it's kind of patterned on that. Now, remember, we said in The Great Divorce that Lewis believed that no one who truly desires heaven will miss it. But Rabadash's pride causes him to forfeit both Aslan and his own humanity. Out of his vanity and rebelliousness, he ceases to be human. But this, I believe, is not the most powerful scene in the novel. To me, the most powerful scene occurs when Shasta comes face to face with Aslan. And this moment is a theophany. It's like in Exodus 3, when God appears to Moses in a burning bush, or when Jacob wrestles with the angel. A theophany is when God appears to you in a sort of glorified form. Well, when Shasta sees Aslan, at first he is terrified by this invisible, numinous presence that has been at his side all along. Because you see, like the Lewis of Surprised by Joy, he doesn't want to meet Aslan. He's terrified. He's always wanted this greater truth, but when it comes to him face to face, his first thought is to run. But he can't run away, because Aslan hunts him down and explains to him that right from the beginning, when he was saved by the fishermen, Aslan has always been by his side. Well, just like St. Paul on the road to Damascus, Shasta asks, "Who art thou, Lord?" or "Who are you?" And Aslan's response is, "Myself, myself, myself." Now, this is clever, because not only is this the Trinity, the three myselfs, but it's also a link to Jesus. Because remember in the Gospel of John, Jesus makes all those I am claims. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life. Well, it's an I am. Myself is like an I am claim. And of course, I am is also the name God gives to Moses in Exodus. So it's a very densely theological moment, those three myselfs. Now, in the presence of Aslan, Shasta feels both terror and beauty. It's that numinous awe again. And I believe to try to, you know, when we get really nervous, especially children, we change the subject. And so to change the subject, Shasta says, "Hey, Aslan, what are you doing to Erebus? What are you doing in her life? You know, get the attention off of me. What are you doing to Erebus?" Aslan refuses to tell him what he is doing in Erebus's life. Because you see, there's another rule in Narnia. And that rule is that we can only know our own story, you know, vis-a-vis Aslan. And I think he's thinking about the last chapter of John. Remember when Peter asks Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, what are you going to do with John over there?" And Jesus says, "That's none of your business. You follow me. What is it to you if I want him to remain till I come back? You follow me." And that's another aspect of Narnia. We can only know our own story. Finally, as a sort of parallel to Shasta's encounter with Aslan, his horse, Bree, also has a meeting with Aslan. Now, Bree is basically a doubting Thomas. "Unless I put my fingers in the nail wounds, I will not believe." But he's also sort of like the Gnostics of the early church who believed that Jesus was God but not man. In other words, they didn't believe that God could take on human flesh. And Bree is a sort of Gnostic. "There's no way Aslan can be a real lion with real whiskers and a real paw. It's just not possible. It would be a dirtying, if you will, of the spiritual truth of Aslan." Well, Aslan comes up and says, "Horse, touch my whiskers, touch my paw. I am real flesh and blood." And of course, in a sense, Bree says, "My Lord and my God," like Thomas says in the book of John. Finally, we see that as in all of Lewis's works, whether they're fiction or non-fictional, Christ is not just a proposition. He is not just a theological statement we study in books. For Lewis, Christ is real.